Heavenly Father, I do thank you for this morning to gather together, to be among believers, to bolster our faith, to be encouraged as we go throughout this next week. Father, help us as we think about saying something to those around us. Father, help us to do it in a way that blesses them, encourages them, and builds them up. And Father, direct our thoughts and our hearts as we open your word. Let it be something that sticks with us for the rest of our lives. So thank you for the way you love us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. I need some volunteers, but specific volunteers. Can anyone touch their nose with their tongue? Can you do that? Okay. Can you do that too? That's it. That's pretty cool. All right. Stand up. Stand up. I want everyone to witness the majesty. Yeah, well, they don't have to come all the way up. I just want to see it happen because it's pretty rare to be able to do this. This is like a unique ability. Are you going to monetize this in your future? Like, all right, no, he says, all right, let's go. Can you do it? Oh, my. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even know you could do that.
That's impressive. And I'm your dad. Have you been trying that late, like,
no. Hidden talent? He practices at night when he's laying down.
My mustache gets in the way. Just pokes me. All right, go. All right, I like that. Okay. Whoa, all right. That's impressive. It like comes out and loops around. Can anyone else do that? Anybody?
Nobody.
No. Nobody else. She wins, yeah. Well done. Good job. Wow. All right. Can high five. All right, you can sit down. Well, we're going to be talking about the tongue today because we are talking about saying something. That's been the idea of this entire lectureship, saying something. So I'm going to do some true or false. All right. If you think that it is true, stand up. If you think that it is false, stay down. Everybody understands that? Let's try. The sky is blue. Oh, well done. Yeah, that's very true. All right. All right, you all can sit down. You figured it out. Okay, true or false, your tongue is as unique as your fingerprint. Your tongue is it? It is. Everyone has a unique tongue. Everyone has a unique tongue print, which thankfully we don't have to open our phones with that, right? That'd be a weird thing. All right, you can sit down.
How many people are going to try it?
Don't do it. Your phone is disgusting. Yeah, your phone is disgusting. Don't do it. And thankfully, all those spy movies, it's like a retinal scan, not like a tongue print. But maybe if you're really rich, that's how you should open your safe. All right, you have 10,000 taste buds all on your tongue. True or false? You do have 10,000 taste buds, but they are also on the inside of your cheeks, on the inside of your lips, and in the back of your throat. So if they are not all on your tongue. You all can sit down. Everyone has close to 50% of the bacteria in your body lives in your mouth. 50% of the bacteria in your body lives in your mouth. True or false? Oh, everyone is less confident than before. It is true. 50% of the bacteria in your body lives in your mouth. Pretty impressive. All right, everybody sit down. All right. This is going to go into the animal world, all right? The chameleon has one of the longest tongues in the animal world. And if your tongue was proportioned like a chameleon, if you were 5 feet tall, your tongue would be 7 feet long. True or false? That is in fact true. A chameleon's tongue is 1.5 times longer than its body. A chameleon's tongue is 1.5 times longer than its body. Could you imagine having a tongue all wrapped up in your mouth? Okay, you all can sit down. True or false? Last question. In Tibet, it is a compliment to stick your tongue out at people. True or false? In Tibet, it is a compliment to stick out your tongue at people. It is a compliment. You're absolutely right. So if you stood up, good job. Did anyone get them all right? Did anyone get them all right? No, it's kind of complicated. Tongues are weird. All right. You may all think that this was just a class about tongues, and we're going to get into that, but our tongues are really a reflection of the things that are in our mind. Our tongues are really a reflection of the things that are in our mind. So the things that are in our mind come out in words, and they have a unique ability to hurt people and to bless people. So we're all teenagers. We understand life. We're at that young adult stage. Has anyone ever said something really embarrassing? Does anyone want to share what that embarrassing thing was?
I have a good story.
All right, go for it, Timothy.
So it was during the rehearsal for one of my plays, and my line was, who are those four beautiful girls? And it was talking about the queen, Bella, right? And so I am like, oh, those are dudes. I said dudes in front of 40 people.
Dudes. That's pretty embarrassing. That's all right. Got it. One time I was playing Jesus in a play, and my line was from the girl who had died. You know, she died, and my line was supposed to be, she is not dead but asleep. And I said, she is not asleep, but she's dead. I really botched it. Really botched it. Never got to play Jesus again. All right. Anybody else? Embarrassing things that you've said. We've all done it, right? We've all been there. And sometimes that's just a reflection on us. It's because our brains aren't catching up to the words coming out of our mouth. Has anybody ever said something very hurtful to you? Yeah, you went right up there. Do you want to share? Maybe? Yeah. Sometimes it can just be an offhanded comment that hurts our feelings. Sometimes someone is purposely trying to hurt us. What's that old saying? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Is that the truth? No. I'm pretty sure words hurt almost worse than sticks and stones. All right? If someone hit me with a stick, I'd be like, ow, that hurt. And then I'd go on with my life. But if someone says something that hurts my feelings... Kind of sticks with me a long time. Like when you're late at night when you're trying to touch your tongue to your nose, right? That's the nose that I'm talking about. You're thinking about all the things people have said to you that day. It's how it works. Okay, now here's a nice one. What is the nicest thing someone has ever said to you? Do you remember the nice things that people say to you? Does anyone want to share the nicest thing someone has ever said?
Well, it wasn't exactly worded to me. I didn't get a chance to hear it from them because they died. But it was something nice that they did. And it was also kind of sad. It was my great-grandfather, and I drew him a picture for his birthday. And it was the only thing hanging up on his fridge.
Oh, that's pretty sweet. That's pretty sweet. Someone gave me a really nice picture the other day, and it made my day. Here it is. It's a beautiful picture. Made my day. I loved it. It was nice. Very nice. Very kind. All right. We're going to look at James chapter 3. Open up your Bibles, James chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. Now, James is going to have this really long discussion about the tongue. Now, remember, the tongue is a reflection of our thoughts. It's a reflection of the things that are deep within us. But we're gonna look at how often James mentions the tongue. So as we read through this, I want you to be counting how many times the word tongue is used. And I also want you to be looking at how the tongue is described. He's going to use a lot of metaphors, all right? And those metaphors are going to be a reflection on just the power of the tongue. And so as we read through this, I want you to count how many times the word tongue is used, and then how many metaphors or what the metaphors are, okay? Do we have any really solid readers? People that would love to read commanding voice? All of them. Okay. All right. I love this. Well, then let's start on this first row. We're going to work down. There's 12 verses. We're going to do 3 verses apiece. Can we do that?
Yep.
Okay. Verse 12, finish it up. Awesome. Thank you. Good reading. All right. So how many mentions of the word tongue did everybody come up with? We got five. Any other differing answers? The word tongue. Go through it. Four or five, which is the right answer? Or is there another answer? What? Different translations?
It's an educated guess.
Well, don't educate guess me. What do you all have? I heard some whispering. No? We're going to go with the semi-unified answer. We're going to put an asterisk right here. Five. Now, what are the metaphors that are used to describe the tongue? What are the metaphors?
A fire.
Oh, man. What other things?
Bits into the horse's mouth.
A bit. I'm going to say bit. And bridle, just so that we cover our bases.
Deadly poison.
Poison. Rudder, I heard. What else? Anything else? What was that? Fountain. Okay.
Fig tree.
we'll just put a tree, possibly a fruit. A fig is good. Spring. Yeah, that's kind of like a spring. No, you're good. That's all I hand back here. What do you got? Restless evil. Okay. Hard questions. Is a fire good or bad? Both. I'm just going to put a B. A bit and bridle, good or bad? Poison. Does anyone think of both? Does anyone know what botulism is? We actually use botulism to help some people out, but that's derived from poison, from snake venom. So it can be both, although most of the time poison is bad. I wouldn't encourage you to like be bit by a snake. It's not going to help you. Rudder? Is a rudder good or bad?
Both.
Both. Yeah. Okay.
Wait, hold up. Is both B and bad B as well?
No, bad will be W for wrong. I don't know. That's a great question. Yeah. E. What's it?
Evil.
Great call. Great call. Beast.
Depends.
Kind of both. A fountain and a spring. Both. Oh. Tree. A fig tree. Both. What? I got to know, how could a tree be bad? Restless evil.
Bad.
Okay, so we're going to say that. And you know this one, we're going to say good. So it seems pretty even. Pretty even as far as what the tongue can do to people. And we've experienced that in our own lives, haven't we? We've experienced this in our own lives where someone can say something kind to you or someone can say something that hurts. We've experienced this, and this is something for us to hold on to. What are some of the things that the tongue does?
Tell lies.
Ooh, it can lie. Ooh, it can bless.
It can curse.
Bless, it can curse.
It can defile the
entire body. Ooh, it can isn't that such a small area? Defiles everything. Everyone knows what defile means. To make unclean can make you unclean. What else? What are some other things that it does? What was that?
Tear down.
Oh. Boop.
Can also be true.
Ooh, you can also tell the truth. It can also boast.
It can gossip.
Man. All right, we're going to get one more. It can poison you. Okay. You say, okay, we're talking about the tongue. We're talking about blessing people, cursing people, hurting people, giving people good things. What is the imagery that James is trying to relay to us? What's the imagery that he wants us to note? Now remember what this passage starts off as. Those who teach. Now here's the thing, we can all be teachers in our own right. He says, be careful because you have immense what?
Power.
Our words carry a lot of power. What do there's some things that are up here. We have a fire. He actually relates this as a spark, a small spark, a bit, and a rudder. What do those all have in common? You can use them to control, or they can't be controlled.
If it's used
controlled, it's good. If it's out of control, it's bad. They're all very small in relation to the damage that they can cause, right? They're all very tiny compared to the things that can happen. And that's something that we should know. We're like, oh, it's just sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. And you think that idea of, oh, it's just a little thing. It's just a little word. It doesn't have that much power. But then we think about it. It really does have that great power. In my lifetime, and I know definitely Jared's because it's a lot longer of a life. But in my lifetime, I have seen an increase of harmful words. Now, before, it was like, you know, when Jared and I were in school, like, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have, I mean, to hurt someone's feelings, you had to say it face to face. And then, you know, then there's the threat of Jared's bigger than I am, so, you know, I may not say what I'm going to say to Jared because there's repercussions. Nowadays, oh, I don't like someone. You know what? I'm just going to, you're stinky, right? Sin. I don't know, right? We can say really hurtful things, and I don't even have to see someone. In fact, I don't even have to know them to hurt them. Have you ever like seen those mean tweets read by celebrities? Have you ever seen those videos? Like, I don't know those people, and yet people say the meanest, most rudest things just because they can. In my lifetime, I have seen this shift from, hey, let's say kind things to each other. I mean, remember Bambi and Thumper? If you don't have something nice to say, don't say nothing at all. And now it's like, oh, let me see if I can just say the meanest, cruelest things to someone and not even know them. What an interesting culture we live in. And I think about you all. I think about you all because you're in this every day. Okay, now I'm going to match this up with another passage. We're going to look at Luke chapter 10. Go flip over there, Luke chapter 10. Can I tell you all a pet peeve of mine? It's not a big pet peeve. It's just something I always remark at. Does anyone's Bibles have a heading at the top of this section? We're going to look at Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 25. What's the heading on top of this? What is it called? Who says Good Samaritan? Do you know automatically by saying that phrase, you're implying all other Samaritans are bad? There's only one good one? It's such a funny thing, but we're like, oh, we almost fall into the trap of Jews who are like, Samaritans are bad. Oh, here's the good one. He's just a Samaritan. He happens to do good things, but it's just an interesting thing. The words we use really does matter. The words we use really do make a difference. All right, let's go ahead. And let's get some more readers. We're going to start with this back row. You all look like really, really good readers. All right. She was like, wait, no. I want to move. All right. So we're going to read through verse 37. So let's read two verses apiece. Go as far as you can. Two verses apiece. Pay attention. Two verses apiece, back row, and just move on down. I believe in you.
And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, you have answered correctly. You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live.
Going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among robbers who stripped him
right. One, I want to start off by verse 27. What is the answer to fulfilling the law? What's the answer? Here's the first thing that we as a group need to rectify. Remember where I said our tongues are just a reflection of our thoughts. So the first thing that we need to do is to put God in the proper position. Where should God be? Top, right? The next thing that we're told is what? We should love our neighbor as ourselves. Now, here's the thing in our culture, and I think this is where we have started to see a decline in the way we treat each other. We don't have a very high opinion of ourselves. We really don't. I look at Instagram, I look at TikTok, and I see people who I believe are more handsome, more beautiful than I am, more talented than I am. And so I start to have a low opinion of myself. And then if I have a low opinion of myself, then I am also not going to love someone better than that. Notice how this command is to love someone as yourself. And if you don't care about yourself, you will start treating people worse. If you devalue yourself, then you start to treat the people around you terribly. I actually think this is why internet, we all call them. What's that person that like logs on just to be mean to someone else? What do they call that person? What was that?
Chronically online.
Chronically online. So I heard it. A troll. Where did that term come from? What do you all think? Does anyone know where that term comes from? An internet troll? They think you're trolling, like fishing. I always pictured it. It's like that guy who lives under the bridge, and if you're gonna cross over the bridge, he's gonna say something in order to get you mad at him under the bridge. He like lives and he's unhappy with his life. He's just a troll. And so he's going to say things to people to bring them down to his level. But that starts with an improper way of him thinking about himself. And so the first thing, we want to love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We want to do that. And then the next thing is to know that God created us in his image, which puts us as the pinnacle of creation. And you are perfectly and wonderfully made. We all know those verses. We know that God, he loves mankind. In fact, he loves mankind so much that he sent his son to die for them, for you. And so if you know that about yourself, then that changes the way that you're going to treat the people around you. If you know that about yourself and you think, wow, God loves me a lot, then now I can start to love others a lot as well. And so he says, this is fulfilling the law. Love God, love others, but that means you have to have a high opinion of yourself. Remember C.S. Lewis, he has a quote, he says, honoring someone above yourself doesn't mean loving yourself less, just means loving them more. Right? So you don't have to degrade yourself in order to love someone. Have a high opinion of yourself. You're awesome. Every one of you is awesome. So have a high opinion of yourself, and then you will also treat other people with a high opinion of them. It's so easy to try to tear down someone because you don't like yourself, but know that you are honored, you're loved, you're cared for. And then if you have that same opinion, then you'll start to treat other people with that same idea. All right, the next part of this. What happens immediately after he gives this wonderful statement? Jesus says, good job, which is a rare thing, right? He says, hey, you've answered correctly. Man, if there is ever one thing I'd love to hear, is when I get to heaven, Jesus says, well done, good and faithful servant, you answered correctly. That'd be, I did it, right? That would be an awesome thing. And here's this guy, he gets that compliment from Jesus. And then what does he do next? What does he do next? Yeah, he wants to do something. What is the thing that our text says he wants to do? He doesn't want to trip himself up. He wants to do what? Justify himself. He wants to make himself feel good. Because here's the thing. It's really hard to love other people. And so he wants to know, and he's a lawyer, where is the loophole? I do want to love other people. I know that that's what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to love everybody. But who is my neighbor? So what he's thinking is, in Jewish tradition, your neighbor is kind of similar to us. Those people who we have immediate contact with on a regular basis. The people who live around us. Typically, in that region, that would have been your family members. Probably your cousins, probably those people that you had familial ties with. And so that's what he wants to say. Do I have to love anyone outside of my social circle? Do I have to care about people who are really different than me? And instead of Jesus just giving him a flat answer and saying, love everybody, he tells a parable. He tells a parable about someone that the Jews hate, the Samaritans. Now, for us, we sit back and we hear this and we're like, okay, Samaritans, it doesn't have that much of a power to us. But if I told this story and I put the person that helped was someone from, I don't know, maybe Hamas or Al-Qaeda. Does anyone know how to spell Al-Qaeda? I thought I did until I started writing it, and then I realized I don't. What if I put that on there? Someone who is your enemy. Someone that you're like, what good is that? They're terrorists. They hurt people. They do brutal atrocities. What if I put that in there? Do you love that other individual? Now, I understand that, you know, there's a distinction between peace and war, and maybe we don't want to get into that. But the way that Jesus frames this is there's someone that they despised. But this is the person that showed mercy. What do we see about the Good Samaritan's actions? How would you describe, see, even I just said Good Samaritan. How would we describe the Samaritan's actions?
Compassionate.
What makes it a compassionate action?
Unprejudiced.
Just sees a person and helps them. Absolutely. What time do we? Are you serious? Oh, there's never enough time. All right. 5 minutes. I thought I had a whole hour. Never mind. All right. We're going to dovetail everything together in 5 minutes. The Good Samaritan, he sees the person, he takes care of him. Not only does he take care of him, he provides for them into the future. It would be one thing if you help someone in the moment and you said, oh, I'm going to help you out, buddy. But he gets him, he puts him on his donkey, he takes him into town, he gives him 2 denarii, which means that the guy should take care of him for 2 days. Continual process. It's not just a once and done thing, it's a continual thing. It's something that, hey, maybe you just say, maybe you just do something nice one time and you think, all right, I did it. I was really nice and I'm done. And I did my good deed for today. But the actions of the Samaritan is he comes along and he says, I'm going to continually take care of you. In fact, I'm going to come back and check on you, which really increases the level of care that somebody has. And so he takes it from just this momentary instance of help, and he makes it a prolonged process. Sometimes we focus on this and we say, how come the priest and the Levite didn't do anything? How come the priest and the Levite didn't do anything? And you'll say, well, maybe they were worried about ceremonial cleanliness, or maybe they just had some place to be, or maybe there was something else that was going on. And perhaps that's the case, but the reality is what? Why didn't they help the man? They're more concerned about themselves. I think it's because they didn't see him as human. I think that when they interpreted someone laying on the side of the road, because I think the natural inclination for all of us is if we see someone who truly needs our help, we will. I believe that people would help that person. I think what they think is he's already dead. He's already not human. So I don't have to help. I can just continue on my way. Fact of the matter is we need to see people more clearly. So love God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That means love yourself and then interpret everyone else with that same high value. Give everyone that opinion. Now, here's the thing. The likelihood of any of us wandering from Jerusalem to Jericho, seeing a dead person beaten up or almost dead person beaten up on the side of the road is probably next to zero. Probably not going to happen. If it does, I know you all are going to help them. But there's different things in our lives that make a difference. So I'm going to give you a couple scenarios for you all to think through. Because this lectureship is about saying something. So maybe you won't see someone getting beat up. Maybe you won't see someone that is on the side of the road. But what if you see someone that's just having a really bad day? Can you be a spring or a fountain? Can you be a blessing to that person, like a fig tree? Can you help someone in that regard? Someone's having a bad day, and you say, oh, I want to help you. I want to say something kind to you, to encourage you, to build you up. Maybe you see someone that's getting picked on. Are you willing to control your life, be a rudder in someone's storm to help them out? Are you willing to let your tongue be something that says, hey, stop that action? Treat everyone with love and respect. What about our tongues within our own homes? Oh, some of the cruelest things we say are to our own parents. I can't wait for my little 2-year-old boy to someday be so frustrated with me. And I know it's going to happen because we're humans and we want to say some hurtful things. Someday my little boy, Milo, he's going to say, I hate you, Dad. I know it. I know it because we've probably all done that to our parents at some point. Can we control our thoughts and our tongues enough to let it be a life-giving spring instead of a deadly poison? What if everyone in your friend group is cursing? Are you willing to say, I'm not going to be a part of this? Are you willing to say, I'm going to use my tongue for something that is a blessing and not a curse? Am I willing to take care of people around me, even if it's someone that I don't particularly know or care about, but I know that they are a child of God and they have inherent value, just as I have inherent value? So I'm going to see people and I'm going to pick them up. Maybe it's just in a verbal way. But that's what we can do as Christ followers. That's what we can do as people who love others, who love our neighbor, to really use our tongues for good. Thank you all for your attention. Thank you all for your thoughts. And I'm going to pray for you all as you all leave and go into the worship today, because I know God can do great things through you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these young people. I thank you because I know that they can do amazing things, especially with their tongues. They can bless people. They can encourage people. They can be a life-giving source to everyone around them. They can do it in a way that as they walk through life, people will notice that they are associated with a good, good Father. And so, Father, I pray that they use their tongues, they use their minds in a way that builds up others. Help them curb those desires to hurt and destroy and tear down and yet build up. Father, I thank you so much for the way you love us. Thank you for sending your Son as this great example of someone who loves and cares for us. Thank you for thank you for life itself. Help us to be life-giving as well. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, Linda.